Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church last Sunday and approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our children, youth, and families director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And this week we continued on this series, Devotion to the Rescue, where we're just looking at how our devotion to Christ can clear up and answer a lot of questions for us, or even save us from a lot of the deception that is out there in the world these days.
Yeah, and there's a lot of deception out there in the world. So when we're looking to God, we're really looking for that truth and that guiding light that'll take us through all those things that maybe we're hearing or we're seeing and we don't really understand, or that are taking us from one direction to another direction, and we can really be guided through straight to Jesus.
Yeah, and there are a lot of conflicting messages out there these days.
Yeah.
We were looking at it this week from the angle of narratives, that for everything out there, there's a different narrative, and people usually will look at them all and choose the one that seems the most true and the one that seems the most right in view of just circumstances, what you actually see before you. And that really was going on in Jesus' day too. When Jesus was around, there were the Pharisees, and they had their specific vision and narrative for how people could come into righteousness with God.
Sure.
And what was the meaning of the law and how it should be approached and followed.
Yeah, and the Pharisees, they had a lot to say about how people were living their lives or following their lives or interpreted what God was saying, and so that's where many people went to, because it seemed logical at the time to go to the teachers of religious law, the people that should know what God's saying, to find that truth, to find that narrative that is right. But when Jesus comes and he starts his ministry, really kind of challenges what those Pharisees are saying and the narratives that they're speaking out to the Jewish people and to others, you know, who are listening, and say, and he says, well, maybe that's not right. So let's examine it again from God's perspective.
Yeah, and he does all of this without abolishing the law. That was one place that we were looking at this Sunday, was in verse 17 of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. He says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Right. So on the one hand, Jesus is saying, listen, the law is super important. But on the other hand, he's saying the way that the Pharisees and others were approaching the law was flawed. And I think a good example of that is where they become so upset because Jesus and his disciples are not washing their hands in the correct way.
Yeah.
And it was the Pharisees' narrative was, we really have to be careful, we really have to be strict about all these laws, because if we don't, we're not going to be on the side of God, and the Messiah is not going to come.
Right.
But Jesus' narrative was, I am the Messiah, I'm here,
right,
and there's a purpose behind that law, and the purpose was to help people remember that God had set them aside from all the other people around them to be his people.
Right.
And in Jesus' narrative, he said that in a different way. Instead of just saying, listen, wash your hands because you're supposed to and be different, he said, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. He talked to them in a way that made them feel and understand that God really was setting them apart as holy, and he had a special mission and a special vision for them.
Yeah, what Jesus really had to do with his ministry, and what time and time again we have to see in the things that he says, is that he had to walk that fine line between, you know, recognizing those laws and those things that the Pharisees were talking about as, you know, they're actually inherently good, and recognizing them as such, but also bringing in that true understanding where it's not just a ritual or a tradition that you're supposed to uphold because I've told you that you have to, or because we're scared that if we don't, something bad's going to happen. But why are we doing this? And Jesus had to bring that understanding to the world as to why God really wants us to follow the laws or to recognize the laws as true and understand it. We have to really know where God's coming from in order to actually get to the bottom of why this is truth, why this makes sense, why Jesus's narrative is actually that true narrative and the one that we need to lean towards.
Yeah, and I like that you said to understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what Jesus came to do, was to fulfill the law, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but also just to remind people of what the purpose of all of those laws were.
Yeah.
And they really were to remind the people that they were set apart as God, as his holy people.
Right.
And so Jesus continually took the law, and of course this is true in chapter 5 is where the Beatitudes are and the Sermon on the Mount, where it begins. And time after time, he doesn't talk about abolishing the law or forget about the law, mm-hmm. but he takes the law and he elucidates it and makes it deeper, shows how it has a deeper meaning than even people had thought.
Yeah, and that's important for us to remember too. It's not that since we're living in this, you know, this post Christ era, you know, when he has already come and fulfilled that law for us and fulfilled our burden of sin, we have to remember that that doesn't mean the laws were bad. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have a standard for us, and that's where that law comes from, is God's standard for us as his people. That doesn't mean that that's erased or that we shouldn't have to worry about that at all. I think we need to be thinking about that constantly, about what God expects from us as his people, and how do we show this world who we are and who we belong to, if not for the law and the things that we uphold that are important to God. But just that the understanding of why we do it, not just so we get a really good spot in heaven, you know, right next to God, right at his right hand, but that we do it because it is important and because it betters us and our relationship with God. That's really what Jesus came to show us, was that, like you said, that deeper understanding that really takes us to a new level of that relationship.
Yeah, and the more we understand what's behind those laws, the more we understand the heart of God and what he's trying to get us to do. When Jesus talks about murder, it's one of the easiest ones, I think, to go to, because we all know what murder is, and we know that it's bad, and it's like the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus talked about murder, he kind of expanded it and went deeper. He also talks about being angry with people.
Right.
And in the same context, he talks about sort of demeaning people, calling them a fool or stupid, really, is the translation of the word that's used in Scripture. So he goes deeper. He goes to the heart condition behind murder, to this idea that we can be dismissive of the image of God in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that, I guess, the greatest extent of that would be murder, to actually extinguish that life.
Yeah.
But there are steps leading up to that that Jesus said are just as bad. To be hateful, to be angry with someone to the extent that we block them out of our lives, maybe to be unforgiving, also diminishes that image of God that's in each and every person.
And we need to remember that that it's not one step to sin. There's a couple different things that can lead us into those sins and into those things that God has asked us not to do. There are extreme, you know, examples of that in the law and in what God has given us to follow. And murder is, like you said, one of those that is that stands out probably the most to us, because it's really bad, and it's one of those buzzwords for us. Ooh, murder!
Yeah, yeah.
I won't do that, you know. And I must not be that bad, because I wouldn't murder. But when you think about it, no sin is really worse than another in that it devalues your relationship with God and it devalues others. So you really have to look at your sins not by, is it really that bad, or am I really causing that much harm? But why is God saying that this is wrong? And when we get to the heart of it, like you said, when we get down to the heart of devaluing others and taking away that dignity and that worth of the individual, that's no less terrible than murdering somebody, because now you've taken away their personhood, their individual worth, their identity, whatever that is, and you've really taken that down and said, you're not as valuable as I am or as others are. But in God's kingdom, we're all valuable. So
yeah.
So we really have to look at it not as degrees of sin, but in God's view of sin as a whole.
Yeah, and in that sense, that's true. I mean that in the sense that God's narrative or Jesus' narrative mm-hmm. sets a higher standard,
right,
than even people thought when they were trying to follow 618 different laws.
Right.
Jesus' standard is even higher because it does go deeper mm-hmm. and goes to that respect and dignity of each human being, and the fact that anyone who confesses to follow Jesus or love God mm-hmm. is expected to then pursue what that means to be set apart as his people, set apart and holy,
right,
as really different in this world and have a different narrative that we speak, but also that we live by.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's completely true. It's about the heart condition, like you said earlier, more than it is about that specific thing that we're doing. We need to know why God says what he says and how that is important to the ways in which we show God to this world. And it might be, you know, we're talking about somebody, gossiping about somebody. Oh, that's not so bad. But God says, but at the heart of that, does that show others that I am alive and I am the ruler of this world? You know, I am the one, the creator and the one that you worship. Does that show the world that, or does it not? And how are you living that can highlight that,
yeah,
in, you know, to this world? And so that's really what we have to get down to, that narrative. Is it speaking towards the truth of who we are and who we serve? Or is it just speaking to what the world says is appropriate and kind of measured at that time?
Well, yeah, because the world, sometimes the narrative of the world will say something like, well, all that's important is that you love each other, love right. people. But then define love down
yeah.
from there, so that it's the opposite of what Jesus might mean when he right. says love one another. He's talking about loving all the way into that deep place of the image of God.
Exactly.
Yeah. When Jesus talked about fulfilling the law in Matthew 5, he says that none of the law will go away until everything is accomplished. And the truth is that when he died on the cross and then rose again and imparted his Holy Spirit to us, he did fulfill much of the ritual law and the ceremonial law, the right. religious laws, the temple laws that had been in place, and for good reasons mm-hmm. to help, again, people understand that they are set apart.
Right.
But he fulfilled a lot of those laws. Mm-hmm. What he did not fulfill, even though, as you say, he paid the price for our sin,
mm-hmm.
still we have an obligation to rise up to fulfill and obey the moral laws. There's still every single one of them in place. And this, when we talk about murder, we talk about adultery, those are those moral laws that, again, go to the dignity and worth of a human being.
And I think that's important that, you know, we remember, even though sometimes we forget, that although Jesus did pay that price for the judgment of those sins that we do commit, and everybody commits sins, so we need to remember that as well. But that doesn't take us our responsibility yeah. away from seeking to not sin, seeking to be better, seeking to be more Christ-like. Those are all things that we still have a responsibility to do. And Jesus did not fulfill that. If he did, then what would be the point of us even being on earth now? Because right. we were placed here after Jesus has already, you know, has already done what he's done. So There is an individual responsibility, regardless of what Jesus has fulfilled, and we need to finish our responsibility
sure.
in order for God's kingdom to move forward.
Yeah, and in fact, all those laws, the moral laws as they are today, we talk about murder, we talk about adultery, but you can go on and on down the list. they all are there to uplift us.
Yeah.
To enhance our dignity.
Right.
And our that image of God that's in us. Mm-hmm. It's as we fulfill those laws or try to obey those laws that we are set apart as holy, that we really do begin to realize that dignity and that worth that, that God has implanted in each and every one of us.
Yeah, and the more and more, like you said, the more and more we try to fulfill those and we get closer and closer to being more Christ-like and actually fulfilling that law and understanding why we're doing so. Yeah, we are. We are uplifting us. We are uplifting others. We are actually gaining that worth that God says that we already have. Now it's shining through. And that's really awesome. And then people are going to see it. And then they're going to want to have what we have. And it's going to be contagious. And then pretty soon, God's law, the one that we believe has been fulfilled, but we also now have a duty to uphold, it'll start to become that narrative, that truth that is more commonly recognized and understood in the world, the more that, that our light shines through and the more that we bring people in.
Yeah, and as he said, you know, we can be that light that shines, that city on a hill. But it's so cool because that moral law that still exists that we are all here and bound to, it's not just about telling us stuff we can't do.
Right.
But it is about turning our eyes towards what we truly can be. That we really can be set apart, we really can be holy, we really can begin to shine that light of the image of God within each one of us and try and help others to do that as well. Yeah. So in the end, again, it's the fact that he has fulfilled much of the law for us still gives us this opportunity to fulfill those moral laws every day, and to do that to his glory, and to really, again, shine that light of his image of God in us.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for being here today. We just really appreciate it. If you're ever in Burbank, you might want to come and worship with us here. If not, okay, we will see you next week on Under the Stained Glass.
Bye.